Okay, the definition of the world, the world's definition of a friend is what I can get out of you. Though the Bible definition of friend is not the same. Okay, I say again for those who weren't here, the Bible definition of friend is one who is attached to another by affection, who treats another with thoughts of esteem, respect, and affection, which leads him to want to desire his company and to seek to promote the other person's happiness and prosperity. This is opposite to being an enemy. Enemy wants to destroy. Enemy only wants to get you so that I can get things out of you. Okay? Alright? There are two things that will influence you the most in the next 2 years. Okay? Just turn out. The books you read and the friends you hang out with. Teenagers, take note of this. The two things that will affect you the most in the next 2 years is the books you read, are the books you read and the friends you hang out with. Because in 1 Corinthians 15:33, let's turn there, right? 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. First Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners." This is a principle in 1 Corinthians 15. The Corinthian church was in a state whereby the people were preaching wrong doctrine, that the there's no resurrection. Paul was warning the Christians, the young Christians, by telling them that you need to be careful who you associate with, because you may be pure and holy in your thoughts, in your life, but you know what? If you get around with people who are not pure and holy in their life, their unholiness will rub off on you. It's very interesting. Unholiness will always rub off on holiness. Uncleanness will always rub off on cleanness. Okay? For example, Jacob is wearing a white shirt. Okay? Alright, let's say I have muddy hands. Do you think how are you, Jacob? He said, "Whoa, hang on, stay away." Why? He doesn't want my dirt to be on his. Alright? He's going to say, "Oh, Johnny, you're so dirty. Let me clean you up," you know, and he hugs me. What will happen? He will get dirty. Okay? We need to be very careful, because the books you read, a lot of us read, and we need to actually understand you need to actually look at what we read. Because what you read, you will become what you read. Okay? And the friends you hang out with will be the two things that will influence you the most in the next 2 years. Okay? So, any questions there for the definition of friend? Is it something that you thought of? Okay, just think about that, alright? The next one I'm going to talk about is the levels of friendship. Okay? How many of you have thought of levels of friendship? I've given you some points there. How many of you think that there are levels of friendship, or all friends are the same? What's your idea of friendship? Jacob? What's your idea of friendship? What is friendship to you? Never thought of that. Okay. Anyone else? What is friendship? Auntie Janet?
Friendship is a friend that shows love.
A friend that shows concern. Okay. A friend is someone who is concerned and who shows love, and when there is problems, they'll be there to help. Okay, there's a friend. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Joshua.
Someone you know from briefly for a short period of time to a long period.
Someone you know from a short period of time to a long period of time. Okay.
Sometimes the email will say, "Dear friend, who are you?"
Okay. Okay. Well, okay, different people have different definition of friend. There was one definition of friend which I heard before, is a friend is a stranger that you have never met. A friend is a stranger that you have not met. Okay, for those who just came in, we're dealing with friendships. Alright, this is Brotherly Love Month. We'll deal with friendships, alright, in the Sunday Bible Hour. Okay, so there are different types of friends, okay? Some friends we hang out with, some friends you share problems with. Let me just make a point here. Friendships are very important to God because of the influence they hold in our lives. Think about this. The friends you make are very important in your life because they influence you, like it or not, or you influence them. Okay? The friends you have, either they influence you or you influence them. Okay? And so, we often make decisions based on the counsel of our friends. Agree? Sometimes we don't even ask our friends. We kind of see what they do and kind of just follow. Have you ever seen groups of girls maybe in school, all the same hairstyle one? Huh? Or all wear the same t-shirt one? Huh? Or all wear... You know why? Friends. We call it peer, kind of peer pressure. And sometimes we make decisions on how we wear. And based on what our friends have, and then we go home and say, I think, Ma, I want this also. I say, why? You know, Mom, well, I just want it. No, it's not just you want it, because you saw your friends having it, so you want it as well. Okay? So this thing called peer pressure. Sometimes you don't even need your friends to push you. You just make a decision based on what? You want to be accepted by your friends. And let's make this clear. For younger people, teens and all that, it's very important to have a feeling of acceptance. Okay? This is not psychological, it's just that everyone needs to feel their worth. Okay? And so that's why families are very important. So fathers and mothers, you need to accept your children the way they are. Yeah, they are all of flaws. Alright, children have flaws. So do we. And so, but we need to accept them for who they are. If a child doesn't feel accepted at home, listen to this. If a child does not feel accepted at home, they will always look to their friends for acceptance. That's why their friends can ask them to do anything and they will do it. Because why? Because they're not accepted at home, and so they want to be accepted, so they'll do it. They will say, ask your mommy for $20,000 so we can buy this thing. Okay. Why? Because they want to be accepted by friends. And that's why in a Christian family, the dad and mom and the siblings are very important. If the child feels a sense of acceptance in the home, they will have no need to fight for acceptance outside. Does that make sense? Alright? So they need to have a secure base. But there are different levels of friendships. And we often make decisions based on the counsel of our friends. And through friendship, we can actually also affect other people. Think about this, especially for those who feel a bit difficult to make friends. We can influence other people through our friendships for Christ. Yesterday, Samuel was there. There were just two Malay children that kind of just playing with him and all that. And so I was telling Samuel, you got influence over them. I said, yeah. And so slowly, you need to, by the end of the night, they must become Christians. You know? Because it was just, they invited the Muslims because why? The two children just adored Samuel. Okay? They always come over and want to kind of be with him and that kind of thing. You know, as a result of this, it is important to follow God's principles in establishing friendships. Can I say this? There are some people that you just cannot be friends with. Not because you don't love them, but because God has certain principles that will guide us. Okay, let me just look at. Okay, this is a general kind of a thinking. There are four different levels of friendships. All right, I just want to go through them quickly. Number one is acquaintance. This level of friendship is characterized by occasional contacts. All right, kind of like acquaintance could be your kway teow, what guy that sells kway teow, and you say, hey, how are you? You know, and you kind of go and say, ah, ni hao. You know, the high bai type of friends, you don't really go into very deep discussion or even share things with. Okay, think about this. Under the acquaintance, regard this introduction to a new acquaintance as a divine appointment. God doesn't make mistakes when He put people around you. Example, Andrew. We only had him for, 1 week? I will give him, I believe this, whoever God puts in your life, whether it's a one-time thing, you need to give him something that God, when at the judgment seat, tell you, I asked this guy to walk past your life on May the 11th, 2012. Example, that's next year. So take note, May 11th, 2012. Why didn't you do anything about it? What did you do with that meeting? Does it make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? whoever that you meet in your school, in your workplace, wherever, it is no coincidence. Even though it's an acquaintance, kind of say hi and bye. It's interesting, acquaintances can become Christians. Just one time. Okay? And it's something very, very important for us to understand. You know, there are some people who say, wow, I'm very shy, I don't want to, and they're not talk. Then we have to grow. We have to grow in that area. We have to grow. Because when God puts people in our life, it could be that God may put you in an area that, why am I always having to meet people? Well, maybe because God wants you to grow, you know? Because you have this shyness and God wants you to, how are we going to be a soul winner if you cannot talk to people? Do you realize the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. In other words, he that doesn't win souls is not wise. Okay, there's something that we need to take note of. And so in friendship, it's very important. God wants us to not just make the acquaintance. Okay, I have a point here. Regard each introduction to a new acquaintance as a divine appointment. Learn and try to remember the person's name. And then if you happen to see him again, you kind of... I have this very good acquaintance. Okay, and the acquaintance is a chicken rice man. I can call him. His name is Mr. Kwa. Okay, Mr. Kwa. I just know him as Mr. Kwa. But he knows me as... When I call him, then what's the matter? So I'll call him. I want to order chicken rice from you. They ask you, who are you? You know, the one with four children. Oh, yeah, I know. Because every time we go there, you always give us big... You know, chicken rice, they give you small bowls. So this guy gives us big bowls. So every one of us. And he knows us. He always gives us egg. That's why I order. All right. But anyway, the char siu very nice one. Joshua likes one. All right. And I'll call him, and he will just, okay, I know. And every time we go past, he say hi and bye. And I think we have moved out. So we actually, what I always do is, with regards to any acquaintance, I always ask, even on the lift, in the lift, okay, when we meet people, I'll look at their condition and say, oh, you just came back from work. Oh yeah, very tired, long day. Wow, what time? 11 o'clock. Yeah, I work so late. So, okay, just start the acquaintance. Okay? And then, be prepared. Okay, second point of acquaintance, be prepared to ask him general questions that will provide some public information about him. Okay, example, you may ask, where do you work? How come you work so late? And generally, people are more than happy to, IT lah. I'm from, oh, you're from India? Oh yeah, I'm from India. I got this people in our flat. We're always in the lift, we always meet a lot of people. Ask him general questions, okay, as an acquaintance. Generally, this one, the people will be more than willing to just kind of ask you, or let you know the answer, okay? When you're prepared to ask good questions, then you are free to concentrate on what the other person say, okay? Number one is acquaintance. Number two, some people talk more than usual. They're going to tell you their family problems. Have you met the people? First time only they see you, they tell you all their family problems. Or it could be that they just need a listening ear. Okay? But you realize that when a person does that, like Christians listen. Christians listen. When someone you meet for the first time pours out the problems, it may be, I didn't say definitely, it may be there is a reason. So you need to be very spiritually prepared. Because remember, as a Christian, we are Christian servants. In our Christian life, we are servants. And God puts us to meet people so that we can touch them in some way. Okay, yesterday we met some people from the Indian workforce. We've been here from India and all that. We don't know. I just spoke to, I think, Salami's brother who was there, a very cute guy who, you know, sang the Indian birthday song. It was really good. But you know what? I told him, interestingly, that it's just acquaintance, okay? First time I met him, but it was interesting. Never mind, I used that example afterwards, okay? That's very, very important. But coming back to, after the person asks you a lot of questions, the second level that you may go down to is called casual friends, okay? A casual friendship, usually, when you begin to discover common interests, activities, and concerns. Example, maybe soccer. Once soccer come in, you know how we got Samuel interested? Because he plays soccer. Oh, okay. Then invite, whenever, when we have a soccer game, we invite him. And after a while, we kind of hook him already. So now he's our casual friend. You know, when the soccer, he'll call us. So we're more than just acquaintance. He will actually call because there's a common interest. Does that make sense? A lot of the world, listen, a lot of the world's friendships center on casual friendships, whereby it's common interest. Maybe I like computers. Maybe I like a certain certain coffee shop. Maybe I like certain subjects, and you kind of get together. Those are the casual friends. Okay, stop me, alright, if there's any questions. As your casual friendship develops, it is important to then discover your friend's strengths and weaknesses, okay? A good friendship will build godly character in your life. So in casual friendship, aim for this as Christian, be a trustworthy friend as a Christian. Alright, it may just be common interest and all that, but be a trustworthy friend, just keep to your appointments, etc. Okay? After that, after acquaintance, after casual friendship, the next level is close friendship. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I was just thinking through this. Close friendship really has to do with fellowship. Two fellows in the same ship. Fellowship always has the idea of two fellows in a ship. Okay? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is a principle. And I believe it is a very strong importance to Christians. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. I just read, "This then is the message which we have heard from him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, God Christ, and then walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light..." Listen, this is very important. If we walk in the light of God, the truth of God, as Christ is in the light, then we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we can have fellowship with one another. Now, what is the meaning of close friendship or fellowship here? A casual friendship involves oneness of the soul on the spiritual level. As casual friends, you may think, oh, I like this. So there's a lot of emotions about the thing. However, a close friendship reflects oneness in the spirit. Okay? Based on the scriptures, when we were walking in the light, in the truth of Christ, the Bible says, then we can have true fellowship, close friendship with one another. Alright? So in friendships per se, there's acquaintance, there's casual, and then it comes down to close friendship. Listen carefully. Every Christian in the church ought to be close in the definition that God gives. And the reason why it is hard is because the sinful desires and nature always interfere. We need to converge our minds. Say, Lord, we need to walk in your truth, not in our perception, so that we can be having true fellowship as a church. Does that make sense? Any questions? Any thoughts? Any disagreements? You're okay to disagree, you know, in Sunday Bible Hour, but just make sure your disagreement is based on the scriptures too. Because the Bible is balanced. But you know, looking at this, John says, when you walk in the light, in the truth of God's word, as Christ is in the light, when we have close friendships, then we can have close friendships when we are walking in the truth of God's word. Alright? Okay? Any questions? Sorry? Without D. Just close, close friendship. Close friendship. Close friendship. What do you mean with who? With anyone, with a Christian, based on the context of this, with a friend. Okay, a Christian. I'll make clear, it's a Christian. Okay? In certain things, you may disagree. Alright? But biblically speaking, if you're walking towards in one direction to serve the Lord, or to do certain things for the Lord, another person doesn't have the same, it's very hard to be close. Why? Because you're walking two different directions. If your belief system and your philosophy is different, you will walk different directions. You will. Okay? But coming from a biblical perspective, when John wrote this, he's saying, I'm right. Let's look at John 1 verse 1, right? Since you're on that, 1 John 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. What does that mean? John is saying, look, you guys don't have the privilege of being with Jesus. We did. We saw Him, we touched Him, we talked with Him, we heard what He said. And the Bible says in verse 3, that which you see and heard, declare we to you. Whatever we heard of Jesus Christ, we are telling you now. Why? So that you can have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with Christ. In other words, He's saying genuine, close friendships develop when we are firmly entrenched in the doctrines of Christ, because love and friendships must always be based on truth. You can't have close friendship if your belief system is different. Think about that. You cannot. And you say, well, Brother Johnny, I have this friend, I want to go fishing. Well, he's very close and talk. No, the reason why you're close is because of the fishing. Once the fishing is taken off, you guys don't come together again. Does it make sense? When you come fishing, you may talk about all the things, but when there's no more fishing, what happens? You won't talk, you won't communicate with another. Does it make sense? So the underlying foundation is the truth of God, whereby anything happens to you, the truth of God dictates that I must respond. Why? Because I'm close in fellowship with you. Okay? Does it make sense? Any questions? Does it make sense? We're talking about close friendship is two persons mutually agreeing on their friendship. Sometimes some people may say, but Rajan, this person doesn't care for me and kind of thing. But you can still be a close friend based on the truth of God. Alright, that's another topic. Any thoughts on that? Any other? It's very important for us to be clear, because I think many times we consider friendship based on our own perspective and our own experience. We need to consider from God's perspective. Alright? The Lord instructs us to... Okay, let me go on from there first. The spirit, oneness of spirit. Now, we can have many acquaintances and casual friendships with both believers and non-believers. However, true fellowship requires that both persons share the same life goals. What is your goal in life? Is it to be like Jesus Christ? You know, as a church, that's our life goal. Everyone must have this goal. We want to be like Christ. And we will do everything we can to be like Him. Some people are weaker in that, and that's where as friends we help one another to move towards that goal. Does that make sense? And so this is important. So the Lord instructs us to consider one another. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Just jot down as we go, right? If there's questions, please bring it up, because we want to be clear on this. Hebrews 10:24. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke unto love and to good works. You can only provoke a person to love and to good works if you are a close friend. There are some... This truth actually separates even in Christians. Casual friendships and close friendships. If I, as your friend, cannot tell you something is wrong with your life, or you cannot tell me something is wrong with my life, this is a problem. Okay? In ours, our fellowship is not in truth. The foundation is different. Okay, let it sink that in for a while, because as we grow as a church, I'm looking forward to the time that God will give us hundreds of people, and I believe God will as we work towards that. But you know, we need to have a Bible understanding of friendship, and that our foundation and fellowship must be based on the Bible, not on what we feel at the moment. Okay? And our foundation and fellowship must be based on God's truth. It must come from the Bible. Because God is the final authority on friendships, and we need to follow Him, okay? And so for close friendships and fellowship, we are to provoke one another to love and to good works. If somebody is not doing something, as a good friend and close friend for Christ, you will say, hey, you're not doing this. Or you were doing this, but that's not what God wants you to do. And as pastor, I oftentimes have to tell people, and sometimes I don't make friends. But that's okay. Alright? But at the same time, but can I tell you? I tell you as a friend. As a brother, as a friend. So in this situation, God says, because the basis is the foundation of truth, the foundation of truth, sorry, you're distracted. Huh? This is in the Chinese church. The foundation of our friendship must be based on truth. Our response to one another must be based on how God says to respond, not what we perceive. And because we are ignorant of what God teaches, sometimes we respond in a way that we feel at the moment. Okay? And so we use our own personality. Do you realize, to have proper Bible friendships, we cannot use our personality. We must use God's Word. Because our personality will be selfish. We will have our own thinking only. Okay, so it's very important. When we provoke, the word provoke literally is to irritate. And sometimes with irritation, I know of some people, when you have, how many of you have sat quietly and then someone does this to you? Huh? What happens? You jump, right? Have you ever seen people trying to do this? Oi! You know, they really get a shock and they want to kind of give it to you kind of thing. Say, I've seen that before, alright? Close quarter. Sometimes they say, oi! Wait! Don't do that! It's like, whoa, get angry. You know, when you provoke one another, you will get angry. You know why? You know why Paul says to provoke? And sometimes people don't, can I say this? When we're willing to provoke one another to love to good works, that's close friendship. There are a lot of people who dare not tell other people in the kitchen, the other pulpit. If we dare not tell another person their faults, we are casual friends, we're not close friends. If, this is very important, next week I'll talk about the characteristics of a friend, but I want us to be very clear what levels we are at. Our goal as a, every Christian church must be close friendship and next one intimate. Intimate is that, but majority of Christians ought to be close. Because our foundation of our friendship is based on Christ and His Word. Does that make sense? And so I may not like certain things, but I say, oh, because you're walking in the truth, I agree with you. I'll follow you. Okay? Or if I'm wrong, I say, brother, you are right, I'll follow you. Based on the truth. Okay? Based on the truth. Any questions? Any questions? Okay, now let's move on, alright? Let's move on. Okay, here the Bible says, consider one another means to observe fully one another, to provoke to love and to good works. To love and to good works. To love and to good works. These are the two things that Paul admonishes the church to do. And so don't be surprised when someone comes up to you and say, hey, you haven't been doing this. You know why? God says, provoke that person to do what is right. This is what the Bible says. Alright, so as a close friend, you need to be, not only be willing to provoke, but you need to be willing to say, oh yeah, you're right. Because if that's what the Bible says, I need to be doing that. Alright, to love, and sometimes love is not so perfect with one another. In the area of forgiveness, in the area of accepting another person, you know what? We need to, okay, if that's true, then yeah, I know it's not easy for me, but thank you for that. I'm willing to try and work towards that. Okay? So, a close friend will do that kind of things. And finally, the last level is intimate friendship. The fourth and deepest level of friendship should be based on a commitment to generously invest in one another's life with the goal of helping each other mature in godly character. An intimate friend is someone that will say, I see you, and I know God wants me to invest in your life. I'll give time, I'll give money, I'll give whatever is necessary to help you grow. Okay? For me, it's a shepherd's job. But you know what? Through that, I do make friends, close friends who care, and many things you share with me, or I share with you, it's confidential. That's the intimate level of friendship. It's very important. Honesty, humility, and discretion are requirements for intimate friendship. And can I add one thing? Confidentiality. We don't hold information for power. We hold information because we love the person. Okay? Sometimes people, when we know something about someone, we hold it as power. Say, I know about this person. That's not a friend. That's not a friend. That's a mercenary. I say bluntly because we need to be very careful how we, when we look at a person, we need to understand the information with regards to that person. If the person is willing to open up their heart, if God calls us to be that level of intimate friendship, we need to treat that person with respect. And sometimes you just say, look, I cannot tell you what that person told me because I care for that person and it's up. I have to work with that person. And you know what? You don't just hold the information. A lot of people like the information, but they don't want to do anything about it. Okay? Can I say this? There is this thing called the burden of knowledge. If you know something about someone, God is giving you a responsibility to do something. Unless you are very clear, say, I don't think it's the time now, or don't think God wants me to do that now, then don't do anything. But if God actually says, and the person you have moved into friendship, and the person is downloading some things, and you realize that, hey, this friendship is not just going to be, I need to ask God for wisdom, Lord, what's the next step? You may be moving on to intimate friendship, okay? It doesn't have to be boy-girl, it can be just man to man, okay? Or lady to lady, alright? And remember, in Christian thinking, biblical thinking, intimate friendship drives a person towards Christ, not towards what he wants. A close friend or an intimate friend, a Bible friend, will always have the goal of giving you what you need more than what you love and what you like. A friend that always flatters you or makes you feel good only and overlooks your faults without telling you, it's not a genuine friend. The Bible says, actually be careful of the person that flattereth you with the tongue. Alright? And so we need to be very careful on that level. Any questions? This intimate friend will comfort in times of sorrows. It will bear with our everything, an intimate friend, okay, and it will accept you, okay. At this level of friendship, if both are truly intimate friends, they know that they have the freedom to correct one another. You know, as Christians, God commands us to be that kind of friend, even when the other person doesn't want to be the kind of friend. Alright? And so, any questions there? Further on to pointing out character deficiencies, we need to actually not only point out, but we need to actually discern, point out what the reasons for it, and then suggest solutions to help that person. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 6, alright? Hosea chapter 6. I will show you how God does it. Okay, Hosea chapter 6. Verse number 1 and 2. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. Verse 1. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the 3rd day he will raise us up. As a genuine friend, as an intimate friend, as a close friend, as a Christian friend, you don't only tell the person what's wrong. You pray for wisdom to help the person find what is right and how to build that person up. Does it make sense? In the inconsistency of the scriptures, Jesus or God will torn, but he will heal. He's not just going to tear you down and leave you there. Okay? And that's why in one of our cartoon series, The Ben the Baker, some of you may know, There was this little boy who was very afraid of Giganticus, you know. Those who know Giganticus is this guy who destroys Christians in the arena. And so he say, oh, this Giganticus, oh, he's big, you know. And then this Ben the Baker, this pudgy little Christian, and come, oh, well, Giganticus may have the power to destroy, but only Jesus have the power to build again. It's very easy to destroy people, amen? It's very easy to destroy people through words, through thoughts, through actions, through silence. It's very easy to destroy people. It takes God's grace and God's strength to build. To overlook all this and say, I will still build. Okay? And this is very important as a Christian. I want us to see from God's perspective. God says, Hosea 6:1, God will torn, He will heal. He has smitten, but He will bind us up. Very, very important. Alright? Okay? So, search the scriptures for keys to solutions. Be a faithful, loyal friend as you encourage one another to pursue spiritual maturity. The characteristics of a true friendship is when both become more and more like Jesus Christ. I say that again. As our church grows, may we develop close friendship with the new believers or whoever they come that will bring them towards a pathway of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Because our heart is set on Him. Because our heart, we love Him. And therefore, we want Him to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? Now, when you put things in that perspective, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of friendships do we have? Can I say this? My desire as pastor, we grow in this area. Our goal of friendship is not just to fellowship and have fun. Our goal is, how can I help the other person grow towards become more like Jesus Christ? Because that was Paul's goal. He wanted to present the church blameless at the day of judgment. We need to work towards that. Any questions? Is it going to be hard, you think? Any comments from anyone? Very silent. I hope silence is consent. We need to build good Christian friendships, you know. Dads and moms, you want your teenage daughters and sons as they grow in the church to know that they have good Christian friendships. They can be strong, and when there are problems, they know that, oh, I can go to my friend. Okay. When you call this particular friend, you know that, hey, I can trust that friend to give him godly counsel. No, not just... by the way, there's a difference between counsel and opinion. Okay? Teenagers, listen. There's a difference between opinion and counsel. Opinion is, I think you should do this. You know, my mom always stops me from going out. I always have to go back by 7:30 p.m. I want to hang out for us, cannot. And then your friend comes and say, you share with your friend, and your friend comes and say, I think you need to be a bit stronger. I think you need to be more assertive. That's an opinion. You know what's a counsel? I think you need to honor your parents. You see the difference? Teenagers, you get a lot of opinions. You need to... A person who gives you an opinion to make you feel good, you need to... Whoa, okay, let's be careful. Is that opinion or is that a counsel? You know what a good friend will do? I think you need to go home. I had one friend who was telling me two of them were going for a party. Okay? And so, two of them were going for a party. And so one of them said, he saw some people wearing shoes inside the house. And so, this friend looked at the friend. Hey, I think we should... Never mind, just wear shoes and go in. Everyone is wearing. You know what the other friend say? Told him, the more mature Christian say, it's not our house, let's take out our shoes. That's counsel. A true friend will want you to do and learn and do what is right. Does that make sense? Will help you to respect and build your respect, build your love, build your compassion, build your service to God more. Any questions? That's a true friend. Yes. Correct. That one I cannot help. That one you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. And that's why true here. That's why how do we decide whether it's a counsel or an opinion? God's word. God the Holy Spirit. Hang around Christian friends. Youth, you need to be in youth club as much as you can. Why? Because you godly leaders who wants to lead you towards that. And every week the youth leaders put in effort to teach, all right? And there's questions that can be asked. And I can assure you, because I'm there all the time, not just me, but you know, the other youth leaders, their goal is to make sure that the youth move towards spiritual maturity. And yeah, sometimes the things discussed are tough, controversial, but you know what? God still has His word on it. Can I say this? In the Bible, everything is black and white. There's no gray. It's just that for our mind, because we cannot understand everything, so sometimes things are not so clear, but the Bible has the answer. Does it make sense? Okay? Any questions? Any other questions? Differentiate between opinion and counsel. I can tell you that will save you a lot of heartache. Okay? Let's move on, alright? And now we want to talk about the biblical friend. Alright? Let's turn to John chapter 17, 17. We're just going to be touching on this verse. Any questions there? So we talk about what is a friend. Okay, for those who just came in, I'll just read out. A friend is one attached to another by affection. One who treats another person with esteem, respect, and love, which then lead him to desire his company. And a true friend promotes the happiness and prosperity of the other person. An enemy seeks to destroy. Can I say this? When you have friends that tell you to do things that are wrong, and there are some friends who do that, go and steal lah. It's interesting, I think there was one newspaper article of how a group of friends challenged one another to go and hurt someone else. And the person actually went to hurt the other person. That's not a friend. That's an enemy. Because an enemy destroys. An enemy destroys. And so the outcome is they were arrested and they were put in reformative training. Okay, where are the friends then? They're gone. Okay? So let's get down to biblical friendship. John 17, 17. Let's see. It's in the Bible. John 17, 17. We'll go through that very quickly. Please stop me, alright, as we go along. John 17, 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay? We're going to look at what the Bible says a friend is. Number one, the essential note of true friendship. Sorry? Proverbs. Did I say John? Oh, sorry. 17, 17. Romans. Proverbs 17, 17. Thank you. See? Proverbs 17, 17. Sorry. The one of you are turning. Proverbs 17 and verse 17, alright? A friend loveth at all times. The first note of true friendship. The essential element of true friendship is the invariability. That means the unchangingness of affection. Because a friend loveth. Loveth. A genuine friend loveth. And he loves when? When does the friend love? At all times. A friend loveth at all times. This does not mean, I don't have children anymore. Let's pretend Jairo is here. A friend loveth at all times means, oh hi. A friend loveth at all times. You know, some people, children like that. My daughter always come and kiss me. Always. I don't mind that. Because when they are 20 years old, I don't think they'll do that again. Yeah? But it's okay, just do it now, you know. For a child, that is affirmation. Because why? Thinking why? They're not very sure in terms of the concept of love. But as they grow, they understand more. But from young, this shows of affection helps them to feel accepted. If you push them away, they feel something too. Alright? Okay, that's another lesson. But the essential element of true friendship is love. And loving at all times. Okay? True friendship is independent. Oh, sorry, let me finish first. Being warm-hearted and being showing your so-called care all the time, interestingly, may not necessarily be proof of love. Okay? I'll develop that. This is very important because some people say, the person always care for me, he always talk to me, it doesn't mean love. It could be the other person also wants something. Alright? So, I want us to not cause suspicion, but I want us to be very clear what the Bible says, okay? If you sifna, that means being expressive of your affection, is no proof of sincerity, because still waters runs deep. Neither are we to suppose that affection must be always shown in the same way. This is a mistaken notion of many people. We always feel, I care for them like that, why they never care back the same way? You know how my mom cares for me? When I try to hug her, she'll push me away. Never mind, this one is... When I try to hug her, she'll push me away. Does that mean she doesn't love me? I can tell you my mom loves me so much. And I'm sure your mom loves too. But her way of showing is different. Does that make sense? And just because he doesn't show me the way I show him, therefore he doesn't love me. No! Let's put it this way. Different people got different ways of showing love. You know how the Indians show love? We were surprised, you know, yesterday after the birthday cake was done, and we said that the Indians were feeding Samuel. They were feeding the cake to Samuel and said, why, you know? And then was asking this the Christian, his name is Sukha, I think, and then said, it's because of love. Allah? L-O-V, oh, love. And he's saying that when we feed, we are showing that we love you, we are providing for you. That's their way of showing love. I say, never mind, don't worry about me. I'm fine, I can feed myself. I know. Different cultures show love in different ways, you know. And some people, you know, you go Italian, they'll hug and then they're, you know. Different ways of showing love, you know. In some cultures, they don't show, but you know, they do other things to show love. So let's be a bit mature. Just because the person doesn't respond in a particular way that you think doesn't mean that person don't care. Alright? Okay? And so, but the baseline, the foundation is the friend loves at all times. It is an underlying, unspoken, unseen quality that you can actually see in the process of time. Alright? Any questions? The manifestation of this will vary, okay, the love will vary according to the moods and feelings of the friend. There are times when friendship must be angry. Agree? Do you realize? True friends will get angry at one another. Sometimes love must frown on the person. Like a parent look at the child, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. Does that mean the parent don't love? Children always does that. You smack me because you don't love me. They need to grow. Can I say this? Adults as they grow up may have the same thinking too. You know what that means? I'll say this very clearly from the scriptures. We have not grown. If we still think like that, we have not grown. Okay? Maturity dictates that we understand just because a person scolds me. In fact, rebuke a wise man and he will be wiser still. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. If you are truly mature in your Christian life and someone tells you what is wrong, you will listen. When a person doesn't want to listen to what is wrong, it means a person doesn't want to grow. Oh, that we always have growth. It's okay if you tell me faults. It's okay. But you know what? Are you a friend? Because when you tell me what is wrong, not based on love, that's not friendship. You are tearing me down. Or tearing you down. Or if I say that, tearing you down. Okay? So, loves at all time. I give you a seal. No, whether you're angry or frowning, your love will remain. Okay, some points about true friendship. On the first point, true friendship is independent of time. It doesn't wear out over years. It doesn't wear out over years. Alright? Consistently, we will love. For example, as parents, we will love our children till the day we die. Amen? Nothing will change that. It may get stronger over the years, but it won't change. We will still help. Do you know that in the Bible, God's pattern is that we love? The Bible says, John 13:1, Jesus loved his disciples, he loved them to the end. To the end means to the time he dies, but after that, when he's alive, he's still loving them. You know, a true friend will love all the time. No matter whether we are playing soccer, you know, when I was 7 years old, or 70 years old, we're walking like that, we're still drinking coffee and we're still... careful. When anything happens to you, I'll still care for you. That kind of thing. Alright? So, true friendship is independent of time. Number two, true friendship is independent of circumstances. Nothing that ever happens either in situation or between us, will affect that friendship. That is a true test of biblical friendship. It is said sometimes just because of certain things, people walk different ways. That is not genuine friendship, unfortunately. Can I say this? If let's say you're in a situation, what do? Stay a close friend. Refuse to change your heart for that person. Okay? So, it's independent of circumstances. It survives the loss of social delights. When I don't get the warmth of that friendship, I still love you. When you cannot provide me that thing anymore, I still love you. Okay? That is the key to genuine friendships, okay? It's independent of circumstances. True friendship is not shaken by slander. In other words, I defend your reputation. Say, don't you dare say that about my brother. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. That's a test of genuine friendship. Okay? Genuine friendship even outlives unworthy treatment. In other words, how many of you have ever thought like this? How can you treat me like this? A genuine friend, it's okay. No, I think some of us will see flame in the wind, whereby, you know, Fernando, those who remember, some of you, Fernando is a Christian who distributes Bible secretly, and finally he was caught by the Catholic Church and he was thrown in prison. And the very person that he gave the Bible to, a young Romish priest, was the one who betrayed him. And they were in the same jail that time. And Fernando was never discovered by people until that time. He said, I didn't realize, I was always hidden. How come someone could find out about me? And then after that, this young Roman priest had to confess, it was me who told on you. You know what Fernando said? Oh, it's okay. They were smart. Of course, he could sense that sadness in his heart. But you know what? He refused. Even though he was betrayed. He was betrayed by Carlos, this priest. But he refused. Every Christian with love for Jesus will be a true friend. That even no matter how much your friend does to you, or he does to you, you still love that person. Let me ask you a question. Can we do that? Can we do that? No, as pastor, I'm teaching you what the Bible says. We need to raise up. If we say, but pastor, I cannot do that. You know what? We need to repent. We need to change our mind. Say, Lord, I need to go towards your type of love. Any questions or anyone disagree? Pastor, that's not the way. Anyone? Can I say this? With love in my heart, I want us to lift up ourselves to the place that it's not possible. We're all humans. Yes, we're humans, but we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We have the Bible to teach us. We have friends to encourage us. Why can't we? It's not we can't, it's we won't. I want to challenge us on that level. We need to raise up. It could be in our families. It could be among friends. We need to raise up ourselves from there. Okay, so the first one is the essential of true friendship is love. Okay, a friend loves at all times. The great test of true friendship is adversity. Adversity. Okay, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is, that's the in the Hebrew phrasing, the friend becomes a brother. Okay, take note of this. In the Hebrew phrasing of this phrase, a friend loveth at all time, right? He becomes a brother closer when the trouble comes. That's a true friend. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Any questions? You are a friend you love and you have good times, but know when the trouble comes, I'm your brother now. I'm not just your friend, I'm your brother. I'll stick by you. Okay? The great test of true friendship is when there's trouble. Adversity proves the value of the friendship. If trials come and you go separate ways, that friendship was never grounded. But when trials come and when we're doing and that we can see the enemy attacking, and you know what? In war especially, you know, the camaraderie. I think you've seen some war films whereby one got shot, he run to you, try to cover you, you know, all the heroic things. And that's true friends. Because a friend gives life for his friends. Greater love and no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's when we actually begin to cover one another. When the trouble comes and inconvenience comes and the person walks away, it's not a true friend. That's not a true friend. Christians, we need to be true friends. Okay, so this is a great test of true friendship is when there's adversity and trials. Okay, the friendship is then proved that it's most valuable. If it will not serve us during adversity, then the friendship is of little use. It's just kind of make us feel good. We want friends to whom we can go to in hour of need. How many of you? Adversity, number two, proves the quality of our friendship. The shallow, selfish man cuts his acquaintances in trouble. There was one time my car, 15, 20 years ago, my car was, we bought a car, and then after that, we bought a petrol station and put the petrol, I was sending some phone back, and crank, nothing happened. So the battery went dead. And so I was stuck there, and I couldn't do anything, at least at that time. And after 10 minutes, my friend say, "Sorry, I can't help. You don't mind if I go back first?" I say, "Okay, oh." Adversity proves the quality of friendships. Poverty severs the cause of pretend friendship. Would we still have friends? Would you still be a friend with someone who can never give you back anything? Never. Are we selective about our friends? That person must get something out of that person and then I'll be that friend. Genuine friendship says, "I don't care what you have. I love you for you. I'm your friend." Because that's how Jesus loves us. Does it make sense? Okay? Then is his brotherly character revealed. The friend of prosperous days becomes the brother in days of trouble. Parents, you need to teach our children to be that kind of friends. Though when trouble comes, he will run away. Okay? The secret of true friendship is love. We'll deal with this fully, alright, in the service, okay? But the secret of true friendship is love. Love is stronger than death. Let's turn to Song of Solomon, alright? We probably have never read this book of the Bible, but it's there. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. One of the very exciting, well, at least for married people. Okay? Song of Solomon, 8, verse 7. But this one is a biblical principle, okay? Which is pure and holy, okay? Pure and holy. Verse 7. Let's read together and see what the Bible says about this kind of love. Okay, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Ready? 1, 2, begin. "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it will utterly be contemned." You know what it means? You can give all you can sell everything for love. Even what you give for love will be condemned. Because love is so great. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. When the Bible says He gave His only begotten Son, it means He gave His Son to torture, He gave His Son to crucifixion, He gave His Son to insult, He gave His Son to being reproved, or not so much reproved, being judged by people, being spit upon by people, all for us. That's love. That is the Bible love that God wants us to push towards in our friendship. "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown." That's why you see the strength of a motherly love, mother's love for a child, the strength of a husband's love for a wife love for a husband, nothing. You'll do anything to be able to protect that particular person. That is kind of love. You know what? True, consistent Bible love require us as Christians to be able to start from close friendship and below. The reason why in the church sometimes we hover on casual and acquaintance, you know why? It's because of human nature. And God wants us to grow. And hopefully in these next few weeks, we will begin to understand God's requirements and then change our lives in repentance towards that. Because if you don't, our church can grow. It will split. I tell you that right now at the beginning, it will split. If we are not going to stand foundationally on the Bible, even in our interrelationships, it will break. Okay? If I'm wrong, tell me. I will love you for it. But if you are wrong, then let's have true friendship based on the Bible. Going back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we say we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That means if we acknowledge that God's word is truth, and we walk with Him in the light, we have genuine fellowship with one another, and we don't have a guilty conscience because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay, any questions? Questions? I think we'll stop there. Next week, I'll just finish off on the last. Basically, the discovery of the true friend I wanted to touch on is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all three. I'll just look down at the lessons. Be careful what you read. Let me finish there. Be careful what you read and what friends you hang out with. Okay, for those who came late, two things will influence you the most in the next 2 years. The books you read and the friends you hang out with. Can I say this? If, as a young believer, you are hanging out with non-believers, in 2 years' time, you will not be in church anymore. You will not want to follow God anymore. The God who loves you so much. Okay, so it's a choice between your friends or God. Being a friend is never about yourself, but about someone else. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We need to be considerate of others. Okay, realize that God appoints people to cross your pathways for good, for you to do good. Okay, or to receive good. The goal of all friendship is to move us closer towards God and Christ. Your best friends should be Christians, and Christians should aim to be best friends. Your best friends should be Christians. And your Christian should aim to be the best friends. Okay? Because we have the best friend. And that's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, any questions as we go? Next week we'll talk about the characteristics of a friend and what are some hindrances from the Bible, alright? To friendship. Any questions? Okay, please feel free to ask, alright? And don't fester questions because we need our answers from the Bible. And let's be honest and open about that. Alright, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your friendship to us. The Bible teaches, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible teaches in John chapter 15, you have not called us your servants, but you have called us your friends. Lord, we were sinners, and then, Father, we were Christians, and then the Lord Jesus Christ calls us friends. And Lord, it's amazing because you even called Judas Iscariot a friend. Not because he was a friend, but you were the true friend. That even despite the unworthy treatment, you still love him. Lord, we pray you help us to understand what genuine friendship is. That God, we will grow. We will repent of ways and sins in our life that are wrong, that are not in accordance to your will and your word. And Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will help us to move towards genuine friendship based on your love. God, thank you for what you're going to do. Help us to have that spirit of oneness of love, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We'll see you in 15 minutes.